Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. We are starting a brand new series called Fragile, Handle with Care, How to Cultivate Healthy Relationships. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a relationship with a friend of yours in which you felt, boy, this is going to be a hard one. I wish they would change. And if they did, this would be such a healthier relationship. Raise your hand. Yep. You hit one of those friends, huh? You too. Okay. Hey. One more question. Have you had any coworkers or colleagues on your team, in your department, and you are in this working relationship, but it wasn't going so well, and you felt, boy, if they could just change themselves, this would be a better relationship, healthier one, right? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Be honest. No one's watching you. You are all by yourself at home, online. What about this question? Do you have any family members, maybe parent or your child, about whom you said, if they would change, our relationship would be so much healthier? Okay, last question. What about your spouse? If you're married or if you are in a serious relationship with a significant other, have you ever felt, boy, we will be in a healthy relationship only if they would change? You've been there, I've been there. Well, listen. Here's a quote by Les Perot. Les is a clinical psychologist and New York Times bestseller writer and author. Let me just read for you one of his quotes. Listen. If you try to build intimacy with another person before you've done the difficult work of getting whole or becoming healthy, all your relationships become an attempt to complete yourself. What a quote. What's he saying? He's saying, in whatever relationship you may be in, if you think the other person would change, if the other person would become whole, healthy, then you'd feel complete about yourself. He says that is not right. That is not healthy. That is, in fact, toxic. And this is a clinical psychologist saying. And that's because he says, why? Why not? Because nobody is designed to complete you. Let me repeat that. There's no person in the world, friend, colleague, family member, spouse, loved one, your lover, child, parent, nobody is designed to make you complete and whole. Only your maker, creator, Jesus Christ, can do that. I'll say more about this. Let me give you an example. I once counseled a woman, Christian woman, godly woman. By any account, she seemed to have put together. You know what I mean? In our counseling sessions, when she came to see me, it was made apparent to her that she had put her hopes in her children. That is to say, when her two children would do well at school, in health, in life, generally speaking, she would be walking clouds. But when her children, she noticed and observed, when her children were not doing so well, then she would become depressed, despondent, and she would feel miserable. She came to realize what she was doing. And what she was doing was she was trying to make herself complete by investing, pouring herself into the lives of her two children. You see, and that's why it is always better, healthier, that we work on ourselves. Have you heard of eHarmony? Of course you have. The founder is Neil Warren. He was asked by Les Perot, hey, Neil, you've counseled thousands of people and millions of people are coming to your website to find soulmates, look for marriage. What is your advice to them? Without skipping a beat, without any hesitation, Neil Warren, the founder of eHarmony, said this: get yourself healthy before you get yourself married. Get yourself healthy before you get yourself married. And that's because guess what happens when two unhealthy comes together in a relationship? What do you have? You have one unhealthy relationship. Guess what happens when two hurt people come together in a marriage? You have one hurt marriage. See, that is why all the experts are saying, all the psychologists, all the clinical counselors, they're all saying the same thing. Before you get into a relationship, get yourself ready. Don't try to look for the Mr. Right or the Mrs. Right. You be the right person. You be the right parent. You be the right spouse. You be the right friend. And I think there's so much wisdom in this. And that's why I'm so thankful that we are kicking off this series for the next 7 weeks called Fragile, Handle with Care, How to Cultivate Healthy Relationships, because so much is riding. We're in the season of Eastertide. Eastertide is a season in the Christian calendar following Easter Sunday, hence Eastertide. Here's what this season is all about. Since Christ is risen from the dead, because Jesus did not stay dead, the tomb is empty, and therefore, then how shall we live our lives? Christ is risen. What difference does he make? And one of the ways that the Bible answers that question is, you and I are able. We have received the gift and the power to cultivate healthy relationships to the glory of God the Father and to the benefit of those around you. I'm going to take you to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians is a short book in the New Testament which really focuses on this Eastertide. Since Christ is risen, how should our lives be different? Since Christ is risen, how is the Holy Spirit giving you the power in the resurrection to do life better, differently? Third chapter, and as I read it with you, read it for you, you will hear expressions like take off, put on, take off your old self and take on the new self. Undress your old nature, the things of the earth, and then clothe yourselves with the things of heaven, the new life in Jesus Christ, the new life in the resurrection. So hear the word of the Lord. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, see, there's the language again, put to death, put off, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have been taken off. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And let's read verse 14 together. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, We thank you that Christ is risen from the dead and that he is seated at the right hand of God. And because of that power, because of that reality, Jesus Christ is giving us the power of the Holy Spirit to cultivate healthy relationships to your glory. So Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Help us to see your resurrected power in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Use the sermon outline and write these words, the theme and the goal. What the Holy Spirit wants you to know and what Holy Spirit wants you to do is this. Write these words. Because Christ is risen, the best gift you can give to your relationships is a healthy you. Since Christ is risen, he's alive, he is seated at the right hand of God, and because of that power and reality, here's what we get to do. The best gift you can give to your relationships, your spouse, your parent, your children, your friends, your colleagues, co-workers, neighbors. And what's the best gift? A healthy you. A complete you. A whole you. So let me take you one step at a time. Verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. See, right there, the foundation of all this, the place from which, where the power is coming for you and for me to become healthy, so that we may give the best gift to our loved ones and our friends, people that we care about, is what? Christ is risen. And along with him, we have been raised. We are new creatures. We are a new creation. We are born again. Christ died on the crucifixion, and when he rose in the resurrection, he raised us with us. It's as if we died with him on the cross. Yes, we did, the Bible declares. And when Jesus rose, we too have been raised with Christ. And that's the new birth and the renewal of your soul and your spirit. And that's the foundation. So therefore, we get to give the best gift to our loved ones. Let me quote Leslie Perot. This is very confusing. Les Perot is married to Leslie Perot, same first names. And Leslie, the wife, is also a certified PhD clinical family therapist and marriage counselor. This is what she wrote in one of her books. Check this out. The best gift I could give to my relationships is to work on who I am. And as I change, I recognize that the transformation is not a private one. It begins to ripple out to every bond I build. Oh, that's such a good quote. She's saying what the Bible is saying. Focus on not trying to change others. Focus on you becoming a healthy you. And when that happens, something supernatural happens. And it's not a private one. That is to say, it's not just happening within you. It has ripple effect. It has the power to influence and affect those around you. And I love how she puts it. It begins to ripple out to every bond I build, every relationship. So for the remaining of the time, I want to spell out how you become a healthy you. And you become a healthy you by three types of love. The risen Christ transforms you into a healthy you by three loves. Let me take you to one love at a time. Are you ready for the love? Let's go. Love number one. You are loved by the risen Christ. And this is so important. This first love is the foundation upon which the second love is built, upon which the third love is built. And you can't get to the third love without the second love. And you can't get to the second love without the first love. And the first love, the foundation love, is what? You are loved. You are loved by Jesus Christ, God himself. What we are asking here is what every teenager asks. I've been one of those So have you. Maybe you are one still. No matter the age, quite honestly, really, if you think about it, it doesn't matter whether you're a teenager or 40 years old, we always, always have this question. It's an existential question, which is this: who am I? Question about identity. It's about, hey, do I matter? Am I lovable for someone to accept me and love me for who I am? Another way of asking the same question is, am I worth of their love? What's my self-worth? Huh? That is the question. What do you love? I know this. You love anything that which is worthy of your love. Whom do you love? Anyone who is worthy of your love. So when it comes to love and answering the question, am I worth it? We make two mistakes. Number one mistake is we create our own worth by our performance. You know what I'm talking about? We want to become worthy of someone's love. And that's why we perform. We work hard. We make a name for ourselves. We create our own identity. And you can say, see, look, I am a self-made woman. I am a self-made man. Look what I've done. I worked hard. And I gained all these accolades and trophies at work, education, in relationships. That's the first mistake, because you are creating your own, and because whatever you create will fall eventually. It is very short-lived, and it's not real. It's only temporary, and it doesn't fully satisfy. The second mistake that we make in terms of self-worth is you fail to see your own worth in the eyes of Jesus Christ. You see it through your eyes of your past. You don't know how to get past your past. Let me repeat that. You don't know how to get past your past. You say things like, oh, Victor Ko, only if you knew what I've done. Oh, how can God accept me? How can God love me? I am so unworthy. You know what I did? You know what I thought? And you know what I said? What? All those are true. That I be the first one to admit, I'm a sinner. And my orientation at the heart, in the core of my being, is sinful. And that's why I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. It's who I am, and that's what I do. So I feel unworthy. And yet, listen to this. Verse 9. Pay close attention. You have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, the new resurrected you, the healthy you. Why? Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You are being renewed in the knowledge in the image of your creator. What are you worth? What is your significance, your value, your identity? Are you actually lovable by anyone, and let alone the Creator God? Well, he says, you have self-worth because the Lord Jesus Christ, he created you in the image of God. There's a seed of divinity, image, a stamp. You reflect the glory, the self-worth, honor, and the power of God himself, the Creator. You're not convinced. Let me try this on you. What do you see? $50 bill, crisp, brand new. Love the feel of this money. Would you want this? Would you like it? One of you is going to get this bill today. You want this? Sure. Okay. Oh, it is no longer crisp. It is no longer brand new. It's all crumpled and jumbled up. Would you want this crumpled up, jumbled up $50 bill? You would, huh? Okay, how about this? Imagine I throw this on the ground, stomp on it, and put some dirt on it, and it's all dirty and yucky and junk, would you still want this? And you say, oh yeah, I'll take the $50 bill. Why? Because of its worth. On the outside, it does not look new, but it still contains the worth and the value. That's what I need you to hear. I got this illustration from Gary Smalley, and he said it beautifully. What matters is what God sees in you. Even though you are a sinner, even though you sin, God put His stamp, His image, His icon in you. And that's why you have worth. Not because of what you do, but because of who made you. The Creator God, Jesus Christ. And that's what gives you self-significance. And that's why babies, infants, unborn, even they have self-worth. The elderly, Alzheimer, suffering from Parkinson's, people who don't know what's going on, even they, yes, every human being have worth because they're made in the image of God. How are you doing with that? What is God saying to you right now? Is the Holy Spirit saying, I put worth in you. That's why you are significant. Would you believe the Holy Spirit? Would you believe these words that are coming out of my mouth? You are loved. You are loved by the risen Christ. That's the foundation. Your first start of your journey of becoming a healthy you. What's the second love? Would you like to know? Let's go. The second love is you can love yourself truly. You can love yourself truly. I get it. We are selfish beings, and therefore, when we love ourselves, it can be ungodly. We can love ourselves wrongly. But that's what I'm talking about, what the Bible is saying. Because you are loved by Jesus, you can love yourself truly, godly, in a fashion, in a way that God, your Maker, has intended to be. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as God's what? Chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Right there. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Three things about you. God's chosen people. God has chosen you. You did not choose God. John chapter 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you. You are here listening to these words of grace and truth because Jesus Christ has chosen you. You are a God's chosen people. And therefore, what's the second thing? You are holy. You are set apart. You are being sanctified, being renewed, becoming healthy because God has chosen you. And since you are becoming holy, what's the third? You are dearly loved. You hear and feel that tender voice of God the Father. You are dearly loved. And that's why you love yourself truly, because you cannot love others unless you love yourself. And you cannot truly love yourself unless you are loved by God. So all these expressions of self-loving yourself, clothing yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let me just talk about one virtue, humility. How would you define humility? Is humility, are you being humble when you think of yourself as a doormat? That you're nothing, no one, unimportant? No, no, no. Here's my definition. Humility, write these words, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less often. That's profound. You are not self-absorbed. You are self-aware. I get it. So therefore, humility is not thinking less of yourself, saying, I am a doormat, I am no one, I am no good, I have no gifts, I have nothing to offer. No, that's not humility. In fact, it's the opposite of humility, which is pride. I'll get to that in a bit. But humility is not thinking less of yourself. What is it then? It's thinking of yourself less often. You are not so self-absorbed. because you are self-aware of yourself. You are not always thinking about yourself. And there are two types of this self-absorption, which is really what pride is about. Let me illustrate two ways by which you are being proud because you're so self-absorbed. It's all about you all the time. One expression is this: look at me, everyone. Look how pretty I am. Look at me, everyone, at my accomplishments. Look at me, everyone, at my education, career, what I've accomplished. It's all about self-absorption. You're not surprised. But here's another form, which is just as prideful. I am nobody. I am nothing. Who would want me? No one. What is common, what is the same in those two examples is this. They're both self-absorbed. It's all about, they're always thinking about themselves. They're not, therefore, thinking about others. They're not self-aware of who they are in the eyes of the Lord, the Creator. And they're not self-aware in the eyes of others and how they perceive them. And that's because they are so blinded by their own self-absorption. You know someone like that? You know someone like that? See, this is why when you are loved by Jesus Christ and when you realize your self-worth is in the eyes of the Creator, you can truly love yourself. I am a child of God. I am God's chosen. God chose me. God is making me holy, sanctifying me, setting me apart. And therefore, I am dearly loved. And when you receive that grace, you can truly love yourself. Let's get to the third love. Once you are loved by God, you can truly love yourself. And what's the third? Write these. You can love others sacrificially. You can love others sacrificially. And that's what we just said, right? Okay? So clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's about loving others with a cost. It's going to cost you, but you are willing to pay the cost because you have received so much. You are so generous and kind and humble, compassionate. And one of the ways that Jesus has shown this is on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. In verse 41, let me read the whole thing, okay? Starting at verse 38. Christ speaking, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well." Let's read verse 41 together. "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." I think the principle here is this. When you're loved by God, and when you love yourself truly, you are able to love others sacrificially in that you can be shortchanged, and you say, "That's okay. I'll pick up the check. I'll pick up the tab. I will pay the cost. I'm going to love others sacrificially because I've received so much." You are okay being shortchanged in this transaction in the relationships with others. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, here's the historical context. In the first century, in the Roman Empire, Caesar made a decree saying that every Roman soldier can demand any person in the Roman Empire to carry his load. That was by law. That was expected. So here's a Roman soldier walking into my village, carrying a heavy load on his back. He says to me, "Yo, Victor, carry my bag for 1 mile. That's by law, required, expected. Jesus is saying, when someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them, go for them 2 miles. See, that's sacrificial love. And you can do this when you are being made healthy. One example. In my former church, back in Michigan, okay, oh, by the way, all my illustrations are from that former church. None of them is from my current situation here at Mosaic House Church. So you know, well, there was this man who was all about, he was so self-absorbed, he lacked self-awareness. And that's because he was lacking humility. He was always thinking about himself. He would sit by himself and he waits for people to come and talk to him. And when they don't, he would complain, say, what kind of church is this? Okay? What kind of people are these? They are so uncaring. And it was all about him. He would never go out of his way and in a conversation, hey, Victor, how are you? Tell me about yourself. Tell me about your day. But instead, it's all about him. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you what someone said. Okay. Now, because I was able to remain humble by the grace of God, I went and talked to him, knowing that in this conversation, in this relationship, it's just one way, one transaction. I got nothing out of it. But that was okay because by the grace of God, I was able to love him sacrificially. And that was good. That was good for me. That was good for the Lord. And one day, because when you love someone, then you tell them the truth. That's another principle. We'll get to that in, I think, week 4 in this series. The Lord says, speak the truth in love. So I spoke the truth in love to this man, saying, hey, it will be really good for you and good for the Lord and good for those around you if you became humble and stop being so self-absorbed. Talk about other people. Ask them about them. It's not about you all the time. Well, he was so hurt by that. He was so upset by that. He left the church. That was too bad. So, what is God saying to you? Are you able to love someone sacrificially? Would it be your spouse? Would it be your child? Adult child? Your parent? Your girlfriend, boyfriend? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you willing and able to carry their load and say, this one's on me? Not only will I carry your load, so friends, let's come to a conclusion. Remember, what's the theme? The theme and the goal is, because Christ is risen, the best gift you can give to your relationships is a healthy you. And Jesus Christ makes you healthy by 3 loves. First love, you are loved by the risen Christ. Second love, you can love yourself truly. And third, you can love others sacrificially. So as we bring this to a time of reflection and application, ask those 3 questions. Number 1, is the Holy Spirit giving you a promise to claim? Number 2, is there a sin to confess? And number 3, is there a challenge to accept? About this woman that I talked to you about in my opening, about children and how she tried to make herself, complete, and by so doing, she made her children her own idols and idolatry. The good news is this grace broke through her. She recognized she is made complete only by one person, and that's Jesus Christ. Her children are important. Oh, yeah. She loved them dearly. Oh, yeah. But she came to a place where she can truly love herself, through the eyes of Jesus Christ. So she was no longer being destroyed by her idolatry. She no longer worships her children anymore. And it's all because the risen Christ made her healthy. And now she's a blessing. She is a blessing to everyone in her relationships. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Lord Jesus, you are alive. You are seated at the right hand of God. And therefore, you have power to transform me and transform us. Thank you, Lord, that we are being made healthy. Thank you, Lord, that we are being a blessing to everyone in our relationship. May we take this grace and go into our city, our world. May we help your world become what it can. People filled with your love and thereby spreading health everywhere. Hallelujah. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, we respond to the grace of Jesus Christ with our first fruits and our tithes. And this is how we know that you are being transformed in His love, by His love, through His love. That money is no longer our God, our idol. It does not control us. That's one reason that we bring our first fruits and tithe. Another reason is out of joy, out of gratitude. Every good gift has come from Jesus Christ. So therefore, let us give gladly, joyfully, sacrificially by clicking Give Online button. Invite friends with you next week. We just kicked off this series called Healthy Relationships, and we're going to talk about topics like how do I start with me, or how do I communicate, how do I fight well, how do I talk about expectations, how do I talk about sex? So all those topics will be addressed. So come with your friends. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen. I'll see you next week.